Good morning. It's 8:09 at WAYY. This kind of, you know, what we're going through this week with regard to what's happening here at the stations, it kind of reminds me of when I was growing up and my first radio job, and I can still remember the jingle, KCUE, AM and FM, Red Wing, and I was on AM and FM,
which back then you're like, wow,
what a concept. Well, it's back. Back again. Welcome, by the way, if you happen to be picking us up now on 105.1 on the FM dial. Still as good as ever at 790 WYY on the AM dial, so you get a little bit of both there. And thanks for joining us. And you can join us on the Wisconsin Credit Union hotline at 715-836-9299. 715-836-9299. For those of you just joining us on 105.1, if you're going like, does he sing every day? Because I hope there's not a lot of that.
Yes, he does, actually.
Is there going to be a lot of that? Because I don't know. No. Just occasionally will I sing old radio jingles. It's 8:11. Myron Buchholz is with us, a retired history teacher, as we were talking a little bit before, you've been saying you've been having a ball out campaigning because driving around Wisconsin countryside and just talking to people about issues can be a whole lot of fun.
Well, I like to say, what's the downside for me? It's also, I completely infatuated with the third CD as far as just general beauty. It's a little embarrassing maybe to admit that I haven't traveled around the western part of Wisconsin as much as I would have liked to in the past 18 years, and now I have an awesome opportunity. And it's really a gorgeous part of the state.
Yeah, it really is. And great people as well. This is an interesting thing, and we've been kind of tongue-in-cheek having a little bit of fun with it, but it really comes right down to this, is a lot of people may not be aware that there is a primary. August 9th, an important primary, especially for Mr. Buchholz, who in this case, it is a congressional primary. You're going against the incumbent, 3rd District Congressman Ron Kind. This is a big one. You obviously want to get out the vote on August 9th. So tell us a little bit about what, and we've kind of been through some of this before, so if we cover some ground we've already been to, no worries. I like to catch up on this. What drove you to get into the race here? What was kind of the catalyst for all this?
Well, before we get into that, I'd like to add that not only is it a primary, it also is effectively functioning as a general election.
It is in that case, because there is no
Republican.
There's no Republican.
June 1st came and went, and yeah. It's something that I get to campaign on, too, in that the gerrymandering that's going on is just terrible. And we need to really rethink what we do with our congressional districts, because I like to tell people, and honestly, I'm an old basketball guy, and competition makes you tougher. And when you have candidates running unopposed, that doesn't fit with my definition of democracy in any way, shape, or form. On the other hand, of course, well, it's wonderful. So I can see why people like it. But from a purely democratic perspective, it's just not right.
I don't know how other viewpoints get introduced, and not to belabor what we were talking about here in Oakland County when we were talking about the living wage ordinance, but that's my point exactly, is democracy plays out when it is not a 7-0 vote, it's not a 29-0 vote, it's amendments and other parts are argued late into the night. Points are brought up, provisions, amendments are offered. They either get voted up or they get voted down. That's what the process should be, rather than, well, we're voting in that direction because what other choice did we have? You know, let's have choices. And speaking to that end, let's talk a little bit about what choice do you think you offer? What's your position of choice? How are you different than Congressman Kind?
I think rarely in an inter-party primary election do the voters have such a clear choice. We have Mr. Kind, who has been there for 18 years and who has shown propensity to consistently vote with the corporations, and he has completely owned this Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was negotiated basically in secret over the past 7 years, leaked out a little bit, and then finally released. And as people read the 6,000 pages and the 30 chapters and discovered that only 6 of them were about trade, it's becoming a little bit more difficult to argue that this is just a trade policy. And then, of course, the presidential election kicking in high gear, Sanders dragged Clinton into not liking the TPP, I believe. And, of course, Donald Trump doesn't like the TPP. So I knock on every door, and I frequently end up talking to Republicans. And when we talk, it's you know, there are things that we can agree on. And one of them is Main Street folks really don't like the TPP. So that was the issue that last fall made me start to think about taking on an 18-year incumbent, because one does not do that lightly. And there are other votes that have come up, and just recently we had the vote on GMO labeling, and again it was another issue siding with the food corporations over what a number of people wanted to say that you can do. You can put a label on food. That's not a complicated task.
What has your reception been within the Democratic Party? Within the party faithful there, so in the leadership of the Democratic Party, would they just rather Myron Buchholz never came along? Is what's their thoughts?
Well, I think there was probably a little bit of that as the and I choose to focus more on the good people that I get to visit with face to face, and I have. You know, I like to say that I have a couple of polls without being able to afford polling, and that I got 550 of my needed 1,000 signatures to get on the ballot myself. And virtually every conversation I had was bringing up the TPP, and if people knew about it, they didn't like it. And if they didn't know about it and I got to fill them in a little bit, they didn't like it. My reception going door to door has been really, really good. I said last fall, and the last time I visited with you, way back in, was it February or something?
Right, something like that.
That the positives outweighed the negatives 4-5-1 as I was exploring this back in September, October, November. And I have had nothing except warm receptions from people that I talked to across the board. We were in Whitehall yesterday, and Canvas dropped probably 375 pieces of literature. A couple of my friends went down there, and... of all the doors I knocked on, all the people I talked to, I had one negative comment, and that's kind of how it's going.
Understanding that this is the de facto general election, there probably are going to be some people that have ordinarily would never vote for a Democrat no matter what, but maybe considering voting. Some maybe for strategic reasons. You could see maybe there are some that are thinking, hey, let's knock out Ron Kind before maybe if he were to run for governor, for example. That's one thing. But more appropriately, there are probably some going, well, we only have two options here. We have Kind or we have Buchholz. You are, as your signs have said, and I've seen them around O'Clair, it says point blank, progressive Democrat. However, you've noted the TPP as one particular issue. And I've heard many anecdotes around the country of people that support Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump because of trade issues, the TPP in particular. Are you getting support from people that ordinarily wouldn't vote for a Democrat, ordinarily would never vote for Ron Kind, but because of the particular issues you're highlighting, and maybe they're not conservatives per se, maybe they're independents, but because of those issues, they're considering supporting you?
Short answer, yes. And the beauty of me being denied the VAN, which is that voter access network that the DPW has the loyal voters on it, was that it really forced me to knock on every door. And my friends that are campaigning for me, and obviously loyal workers all over. We've got a great staff going in La Crosse. I've got a great staff going in Stevens Point. I'm going to do fine in Eau Claire. And we get to knock on every door. And yes, I come across those conversations all the time. If the Middle East comes up, the reflection on Mr. Kind's vote to support what I like to refer to, and I think historically accurately, the worst foreign policy decision in American history. And, you know, history matters. And as we see things play out over the course of the years, people have started to really question the judgment on that particular vote. And then, of course, there's other issues like Social Security. You know, a significant number of people that I talk to when I go to party meetings, of course, are of that Social Security age. And the New Democrat Coalition, and I call myself a progressive Democrat, the definition being that progressives get things done for the poor and the working class. The New Democrat Coalition has been on record for years, willing to negotiate some of the things away in Social Security, a very scary thought. The Progressive Caucus, on the other hand, is a staunch defender of Social Security and, you know, increase the cap and increase benefits and keep the offices open. One of the things that's happening with Social Security is that there's this pressure that we're going to do cost savings by cutting service and we're going to close offices and direct people to the internet. I need to talk to people. I've been using computers since Apple IIe with dual floppy drive. And I still, when it comes time to talk about things that matter to your finances, I don't feel safe in going online and thinking I'm going to do that. So Social Security is an issue, and then we come back to these trade policies and the comparison to NAFTA with the loss of 75,000 jobs and so on. And so, yes, there are Main Street, mainstream things that we all agree on. And I like to think of myself as that way. I'm a pretty much down home, and I can have good conversations with lots and lots of people on most issues.
You've talked about the TPP. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. I want to find out, I want to drill down a little bit, because I think there's a bit of a disconnect going on. There's part of the nation that thinks they don't like the TPP. There's another part that, frankly, it's broad enough, like you said, there's only six pages in there that actually talk about trade. If you've got all that stuff going on, it's hard to wrap your arms around it and even understand what you don't like about TPP. You've just heard a lot of people say, it's a bad thing, and you jump on that bandwagon. Why is it a bad thing? We're going to break that down in just a moment. We'll get to that with Myron Buchholz and your calls on the Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline at 715-836-9299. That's 715-836-9299. And we do ask that when you do call, since we now are also on 105.1 on FM, use your FM voice, okay, rather than your AM voice, because it's totally different.
Right.
Totally different.
Not your
voices.
AM voice, but your FM voice.
Use your FM voice. Yes, please. Please. We're over on FM now, too.
Yeah.
And we're on FM, too, by the way. And so I want people to know, still on AM, still providing the great service.
The AM thing is always going to be
around. It's always going to be there. And then FM.
If you prefer the sound of it, I mean, some people actually like it that way.
It's kind of like we're a convenience store and we've added yet another handy location. There we go.
Basically,
that's what this kind of is. That's what we're here for.
What's the difference between an FM voice and a public radio voice?
Time to get into that. I mean, good grief.
Wow.
That's half an hour worth of discussion right there. More in a moment on WYYY. 824 WYYY, Luke and the Captain after 9 o'clock here. And get ready for all that. Is this Goodies Day? I think it is, isn't it?
Maybe not yet.
Not yet. Okay, not yet. Oh, that's right. It's Wednesday. I was trying, but no, it's who's on the show today?
We do have the WAU guys.
Oh, okay. That's the goodies I was thinking of.
And, yeah.
The good information that they're going to bring.
Got a lot of baseball to talk about. Local baseball, because Legion's 17-unders are at state today.
Okay.
And the 19-unders are in the regionals today. So
Okay. There's
a lot of big stuff, and of course the Express were in the All-Star game last night.
Of course.
So there's plenty going on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then training camp starts next week.
Wow. Yeah, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah, you'd think it's quiet timing. Surprisingly not.
Yeah, and you might even talk about the Brewers are just having one of these seasons where, yeah. Now like a walk-off throwing error type thing or miss throw. When you start losing games on things like that, you're just having that kind of season. The breaks are just not falling your way.
Yeah.
Other teams, when they're having a really good season, the breaks fall the right way. You get the win on those kinds of things. In this case, not so much for the Brewers. So we'll have that coming up after 9 here on WYYY. Trans-Pacific trade deal, the partnership there. A lot of talk about this. A lot of people have cited some of the good and the bad about it. In particular, what jumps out to you if you looked at this? I mean, it's a massive agreement. That's how these things are. I mean, they're just, but the devil is in the details. It's all, what does this mean when we boil it all down? And when we boil it all down, what does this all mean?
Well, first, I like to say that I'm not against trade. And sometimes that's an attack that's levied at people who are
right. In
opposition to this, because we're the United States of America. I firmly believe that our trade representatives can sit down with people all over the world and hammer out a deal.
Sure.
That does not give away our rights. And there are just a number of specifics that I like to bring up. But one of them, of course, has to be talked about, and that's this investor-state dispute system where a corporation that feels wronged by a particular law, let's say that Eau Claire has a buy local law, and that buy local law can be said to take away the profits of another corporation who wants to sell that particular product here, they can actually sue us. They can sue the state of Wisconsin, can sue the United States of America. And I believe the gold standard example is what happened with the Keystone Pipeline Company. Now, you may be for or against pipelines, and I'm not completely opposed to pipelines either, as long as they don't leak. And we can build them so they don't leak. But good democracy happened out in the Great Plains where I originated, and people rose up, and Obama, who was in favor of that pipeline, turned, and he became an opponent. That pipeline company is suing us for $15 billion. That's every taxpayer in America is on the hook because the Keystone Company said that you cost us profit, so now we get to sue you. And that won't go to our court system. That goes to a separate tribunal that's set up by the corporations themselves. That should scare people. That's an issue that simply does not need to happen. And, you know, there's 450 environmental groups. There's 1,500 different groups, very diverse, all the way from the United Methodist Church to the National Farmers Union, opposed this based on all of those other things that are in the other 24 chapters. And this needs to be relooked at. And, of course, my opponent voted to fast-track it, which is a mistake. Fast-tracking isn't very democratic. It means it's an up or down vote without debate or amendment. And now the people know about it, and they'll be contacting their legislators. It's going to get taken off the table.
All pieces of legislation, this has been a sticking point for many citizens, and that is 24 chapters. Inherent, isn't that part of the problem? That any piece of legislation where we start adding all of these other things, it's we've seen this often. In fact, your opponent, I can recall a few years back when the Republican opponent ran a very vitriolic ad that said, you know, Ron Kind is against children.
Oh, gosh.
You know, he hates children.
We're talking the Paul R. Nelson ads from 2004?
Right, exactly. And what it was one of these cumbersome, multi-layered, you know, to get funding for Wisconsin roads, to get funding for this, to get funding for that. But way buried in the bottom of all that was something that allowed, you know, one particular point that had to be passed. So you wonder, is a congressman in a difficult position of, okay, tell you what, I'll just vote, I'll say no to everything, but then don't come crying to me when we don't have funding for our roads.
And on that note, would you, maybe more, I suppose it depends party-wise, let's assume for the moment that the Republicans maintain control of the House, Paul Ryan from the Wisconsin delegation, and you would be part of the Wisconsin delegation, remain Speaker of the House. Would you be able to in some way communicate with Representative Ryan, Speaker Ryan, about simplifying bills, making, you know, I know there was talk of reform of the process, but then that seemed to get, you know, set aside again earlier this year. Is there some way to talk to him about that? Would you be talking to Nancy Pelosi as the minority leader? Or if the Democrats take control of the House, I would presume she would be Speaker once again. Would you be in touch, not necessarily directly with them, because I know how that works. You got to go through through the different levels. But is there some way to talk to people in a position of authority and say, we need to once and for all reform the overall legislative system?
I can work with anybody, and you know, most people in the day-to-day work world put up with people that sometimes they really don't like. But when it comes time to get the job done, you know, you have to put some of those things aside, and you just have to work for the good of the people. I think another part of that overall question is how do bills get written in our modern sense? And this comes back to me as a money and politics issue. So many of our politicians spend so much time fundraising that I think they have less time to actually work on legislation. And legislation like the TPP is written by the corporations, and it's given to the politicians that, here, this is a good deal. Like the Patriot Act, when Russ Feingold voted against the Patriot Act, you're talking about, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, and he read it and studied it and voted against it, 98-1. The money in politics thing, when I talk to voters, if you want to cast a vote against money in politics, you vote for me, because the amount of money that I've raised is more than 50% of our working class people make on a year, according to the Social Security Administration. That's over that's under $30,000. I'm up against $2.2 million. And I really have a chance to win. And I'm going to hammer that point when I do, that you don't need the millions that they tell you that you need. That comes from the corporations who write the legislation, and then it gets passed through Congress in these multi-chapter bills that don't have anything for the poor and working class in them.
Is this not, and we have private industry examples all the time. I mean, it's that example of the boss brings you something, for instance, and, you know, it's all laid out and says, hey, what say you, what you think about all this? Well, you realize at that point, excuse me, the die is already cast. It doesn't really matter what I say here. You're going to do what you want to do. I don't care if I'm vehemently opposed to this. You might raise your eyebrows. You might say, oh, I'm going to have a problem with that person. You might even deal with that problem. You say, I got enough of a problem. I'm going to have to get them out of the way. They're going to have to go because they're enough of a problem here. I would rephrase or reframe the question and say, I know you could deal with anybody. It's, will you have that opportunity, you know, in this, you know, or do they just say, let me see, let me get my look at my list here. Buchholz, Wisconsin, first time. Yeah, come back to us in about 15 years and we'll see if we can do something with you, you know.
Well, it's a fun thing to think about happening because one likes to think they probably have maybe more backbone than you have. I just know what the culture is right now, and I know one of the things on the top of so many people's lists that's wrong with Congress is money and politics. And I can give you this example. I have been, I would say, shunned by some major groups who might be inclined to support me, in large part because they go to my FEC website page and look at the amount of money I have, and they automatically deem that I am not able to win. Of course, what's missing in that conversation is issues. And I believe if people vote on the issues, and when I talk to people, I'm talking about issues, I have tremendous support. And then the argument about needing to raise money is to combat the ad that you so, you know, eloquently described, the attack ads. I need to raise money because if I don't, my opponent will and they'll attack me and so on. And again, what's taking a back seat to that conversation? Issues. Money in politics was always about the presidential elections. That has not changed. What has changed is the money in politics in our down-ticket races, our assembly races, our state-level races, for crying out loud. And that's a fairly recent phenomenon that we can get back and get away from simply by doing door-to-door campaigning and talking to people about issues.
We got. Let's take a call here. Myron Buchholz is on with us, running in the 3rd District. But effectively, the primary will be the general election because there is not a Republican challenger for whoever wins this thing. This effectively is Congressman Kind and Myron Buchholz in the August 9th primary. Go ahead. You're on WYYY.
Good morning, guys. Very interesting show today.
Oh, thanks.
I'm very, very glad that Mr. Buchholz appeared on the radio today, because speaking for me and honestly, when I see your signs around town, I'm here in Eau Claire, and I see the word progressive, I got a knee-jerk reaction to that. So I'm glad to hear you talk. I don't consider you a progressive so much as an old-time Democrat. I don't put you in the same categories I would put a Nancy Pelosi. You're speaking more common sense than the word progressive in my mind would signify. I like the fact that you're going against Ron Kind, who really needs to go. He's been around. He's been part of the problem for too many years. So I say good luck to you.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, I received a compliment last night from a person who said it was nice to see a politician actually put their political party on the sign. And, you know, using that term progressive in front of Democrat is a direct reaction to this committee that Mr. Kind, my opponent, chairs, the New Democrat Coalition. There's only so much room that you have to put on a sign. And I would call myself an old Democrat if I was actually to use that, coin that phrase, or to come back to it from all the way back to FDR and Eleanor Roosevelt, say that people who really had the working class and the poor on their mind, even though they were incredibly wealthy people to start with, and they did major things that actually improved society at the same time, supporting business and supporting Main Street and, our mainstream Main Street issues. And, the words like progressive and liberal and conservative have simply, in many ways, just become meaningless because they're just used to bat around. And we need to talk about issues. And that's what I want to do, and I'm having a great time doing it.
Yeah, Myron, thanks for your time. Tying that in and tying the other thing in, we'll go to our break here and we'll finish up with our final segment. But the example, with all these labels, part of the problem that you can run into is, I walk into an audition and I've got green hair. And, you know, so I got green hair. I walk into an audition for a show, let's say, for instance.
Looks good on you, by the way.
Thank you. It's wonderful green hair, and you can see it on FM now. But anyway, the power of FM radio is amazing. But anyway, so I walk in with a green hair. Okay. The fact of the matter is, they say, well, thanks for coming in. We'll talk with you a little bit later. You know, see ya. Good luck with your career. And I say, you haven't heard me sing. Thank you. You haven't heard me act. Thank you. I got a great speech worked up. Thank you. Haven't seen me dance. Doesn't matter. Green hair. Out. And that's kind of where Mark, our caller, was coming from, is that when we look at some of these labels, we instantly put, or funding levels, we instantly put somebody out of reach, out of touch. They can't possibly win. Well, the fact is, nobody's ever going to win if they didn't take a chance somewhere to put themselves out there and to go talk to constituents. And to that end, for everybody that says we got nobody running against somebody else, look at the 3rd District. The Republicans didn't mount a candidate. Mm-hmm. The Democrats mounted 2. That's just how this works. Mm-hmm. So August 9th is going to be very, very important, because it is for all the chips, August 9th. And I know you want voters to get out, voters of all stripes, to get out to the ballot box.
Well, I do. And one of the things I say to people when I visit with them is there's this talk of voter suppression. And voter suppression takes a lot of forms. And it occurred to me that an August 9th vote is just another level of voter suppression, because nobody votes in August.
Right.
It's a vacation month. And
right.
You're supposed to be, I hope you have vacation, you're supposed to be thinking about being at the lake or fishing or something like that. So you actually have to make a special effort to get out and vote on August 9th.
All right, thank you. Myron Buchholz, we'll post this for you at WAYY790.com. WAYY.com.
WAYY, well, you can both.
Either one will work at this point. Okay, we'll tell you more about that later, just so we can make sure we get to the right spot to find all of that. We're learning as we go here, really. I feel like I'm in my first week of radio, and that was like 35 years ago or something like that, even more, maybe even 40. It's 8:38. More in a moment on WAYY.